on a rainy morning when there's plenty to count wrong, take a minute. And that song, Count Your Blessings, truly is correct, isn't it? And we really do need to sometimes just stop and thank the Lord for what, I think, thank him sincerely sometimes. I think we just sometimes pass over him. I know I do. I get busy and I go, Lord, thanks. Oh, well, that's great. Oh, that's a blessing. And then I don't think about it again. But sometimes every once in a while, we just need to stop and say, Lord, thank you very much for giving me this. Because sometimes we just say, thanks, Lord, and go on. But I mean, he provided everything you have. He provided in some way for you, whether it be your car or like Brother Chuck said, sometimes it's something so simple. Thank you, Lord, for showing me this or pointing this out to me or keeping me safe from this over here. And, you know, my wife does this a lot. She prays for her husband. And then this past week, I had a trip that I had to take, quite a long one, up to Elgin, Illinois, and then back. And so we did it all in one day and had to pick something up that needed to be picked up there. And my wife just said, every time you go on one of these long things to and from somewhere all in one day, you know, she's just extra. Because I was talking to her and something had happened on the road. And I said, thanks for praying, you know, pray for me for the next hour and a half because I'm frustrated in Chicago traffic, right? And, you know. But she goes, oh, trust me, I have been, you know, she's been praying the whole time. And that's kind of, that's normal, isn't it? And for us to be thankful and praying for our spouse or loved ones. And so I had a blessing this week, got to see my grandparents this week on Friday. We took a trip up there and surprised them. So the Lord gives us lots of chances to praise him for what he's given us. Let's go to Psalms 37 and we'll read through. It looks like all the way down to verse number 8, and I have highlighted and circled in my Bible, almost every Bible I have, some of these words right here, and we're going to look at each of these words, and I'll give you what I think David and what I think the Lord put him in here for. So Psalms 37 says this, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." And that's where we'll stop. There's more to the psalm. It's a good psalm. Read the whole thing sometime. But you'll notice that word, we kind of talked about it just a minute ago, didn't we? Counting our blessings. And God sometimes, instead of just counting our blessings, he says, all right, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That idea of fretting would be to be overly concerned about something. It's not always a bad thing, but I think led too far, fretting constantly would be considered a bad thing according to God's word. He says, fret not thyself. And he has certain things he tells you not to fret about, because there are some times where he wants you to worry about it, all right? There's something that's going on in your life, or something that, maybe not worry is the right word, but be concerned about it at that moment, okay? If I was driving to church this morning and my car stalled in the middle of the water, I would then at that moment be concerned about the situation. But the goal would be not to fret about it, but to put it in the Lord's hands while doing something about it. Because he wants us to do stuff about it. He doesn't want us just to sit there and wait till help comes type of thing, all right? A lot of times God says, okay, get to work then. And get it fixed. I can help you. But here I call these things, and there's really 5 of them. And I call them David's 5 steps to success. Why was David specifically so successful in the Lord? I think he had these 5 words mastered. And the fret is not one of them. Fret is just in there the whole time. And so let's look at verse number 1, and then we'll go down and I'll have you, you can either mark it, underline it, or write them down on a piece of paper, whatever you'd like, or just try to log them in your memory. But in verse 1, we see really the problem. We see the problem in David's life. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." He mentions this again later, but this is easy for us Christians to do. We get into fretting mode, worry mode about something. Maybe it's an evil danger coming out. And David, he had a whole, he had whole nations, whole armies coming at him. He had plenty to worry about. He's the king of a country. And so he's got reason more than I do, probably, to be fretting about it or worried about what could come, especially evildoers, specifically. Most of us, we don't have to go home and be worried about an evildoer breaking into our house or whatever. But I think sometimes, even as Christians, you know, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious, there's a good word for us, against the workers of iniquity. Because truly, when you turn on the news and you see these crazy people destroying America, you know, and sometimes the truth is we feel bad for them or we don't like what they're doing. But a lot of times, if we're not careful, that little bit of envy, like, well, who are they? You know, why are they in power? Why did God let them be in charge? You know, I know some pretty common sense people who live right down the road from me who would be a better, you know, senator or governor or whatever than some of these people. And God just says, hey, listen, don't worry about every one of those things. Fret not because of the evildoers or the workers of iniquity. For they shall, verse 2, here's what happens to them. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. He says, hey, listen, they're going to die someday just like you are. They're going to meet the Lord someday just like you will. Except for you get to meet him if you're saved in heaven. And they get to meet him at the judgment seat, which is not how they want to meet him. And so, you know what? At some point, you have to let some of those things go. And he told David the same thing. Hey, the evildoers, those who you could be envious against, some of it you just have to let go. So how did he do this? Ready? I think there's several words. I'll say them and then we'll get to them. Ready? In verse 3, it's trust. In verse 4, it's delight. And in verse 5, it's commit. And verse 6, it's rest. And verse 7, it's cease. And if you look at all five of those words in order, I think they're in the order they're in on purpose in God's word. So number 1, how do we be successful then? This week, you can take these words and be successful. This week, I can take these and be successful for the Lord. Number 1, I have to start with this. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Okay? That's the number 1 thing I have to do this week. Tomorrow when I wake up, number 1, I have to trust in Him. I can't trust in myself. And I can, but it doesn't always end up right. In fact, a lot of times it doesn't end up right. We trust in too many things as Christians. And that's what he's saying. He said, whoa, 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 David. You know, he even told David, think about the children of Israel. You know, they were told sometimes, I want you to number the people, right? And then a lot of times he said, don't number the people. And every time they numbered the people when they shouldn't have numbered the people, they always got in trouble. You say, what was that about, Brother Young? Why did God do this to the nation of Israel? All that was he wanted, basically, not all of it, but a lot of it had to do with the fact that if they numbered all the people and found out how many strong men they had and how many weapons they had, and they relied on that number, okay, then they're not trusting in the Lord like they should. And if you go back to the children of Israel, they through the wilderness time, when they're out there fighting the Amalekites and all that, they had to trust the Lord. They had no choice. And so now that they're a nation and they're here and they've got cities, he says, whoa, 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 don't number the people until I tell you to do it. First of all, it's just an obedience thing, right? But second of all, he didn't want them to get trusting in their own might. If you study the Bible and the kings of Israel, there was, I think it's, am I saying this one right? I'm off the top of my head, Hezekiah, who built the walls and the siege engines, very smart. God blessed him. He was a good king. But towards the end of his reign, he ends up sliding in and bringing himself low and bringing Israel low because basically he trusted in all of his inventions too much. And so he had all these siege engines and amazing things he did for Israel. But at some point, God looks at him and says, you're a wise man. You're a smart guy. I gave you that. And you're getting ready to go downhill because you trust in the wrong thing. So number 1, trust in the Lord and do good. That would be the second part. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Hey, so number 1, tomorrow, I need to trust in him. Okay. Number 2, as a Christian, if I want to continue on and have a successful life, I need to, number 2, delight. Delight in him. Trust in him. Number 2, delight in him. Verse 4, it even tells us what to do. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Hey, you know what? I may have something this week that I see. I kind of wish I had that. Or I wish I had this money. Or I wish I had a house like that person. By the way, if I keep doing that, I'm going to get envious. All right, I will. And you will too. You might not envy the same thing as I do. But if you're not careful, we start looking at other people's things and possessions, and not even that, but their life situation. All right. I don't know if you can tell me this because you're in a different time of life than I am. But the older I'm sure you get, the more your envy is not with always things, but maybe health situation or money situation or whatever else it is. If you're not careful, somebody else has good health and you have bad health, and you envy this person's good health. And I'm not sure that that's how it goes or not. You can tell me. And hopefully it's not. But the truth is, if we would just stop looking at everyone else's thing, and number one, trust in the Lord. But number two, there's a command for us. If we really, most Christians never make it past step one. They trust in the Lord. And then every week, if you ask them, you know, Brother Dan, do you trust in the Lord this week? Yeah, I trust him. He's going to take care of me. You know, and if you ask the average Christian that after Sunday night church, you know, even if they weren't trusting God earlier in the week, after a day of sermons at church, by the end of Sunday night, they're on fire and ready to go. You know, yep, I'm ready to trust the Lord this week. Monday comes, and they fail one area. Ready? Number two, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of your heart. You know what they got to do? You got to wake up on Monday morning, open his word, and take just a minute, not just to trust him, but to delight in him. That means have a relationship with him. You know, I don't want my kids just to walk in and say, thanks, Dad. See you. Hi, Dad. And I'm sure they will, and I'm sure they do. And the older they get, hopefully the more mature that becomes, right? And I'm sure it gets worse before it gets better, right? Some of you who raised your kids can tell me. I'm sure there's ups and downs with that. But the truth is, even my children at their ages that I have, I like it when they, you know, when they just love you, when they just want to be with you. They just, Dad, I just want to go with you, right? Dad, can I ride in your truck with you? Now, most of them like that because I usually get them something, all right? You know, they kind of try to think, well, if I go with Dad, maybe I'll get a freezy from the gas station, all right? But the truth is, hey, if freezies from the gas station help keep my relationship with my kid, I think I'll do it, all right? By the way, I think God's the same way. I think God's the same way. He even says he is. He wants to give us blessings. But you know what? Sometimes we're not trusting him, and sometimes, though, you know what? We miss number two. Delight thyself also in the Lord. What does it say? And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When my children delight to be with me, I delight to give them the desires of their heart. When my son wants to go with me, and by the way, do the hard work or do the job that we have to do, then I want to reward him with a treat. Okay? But if I say, who wants to come with Dad? And they go, what are you doing? All right? You know, they know Dad's dressed for work or we're going to go do a project. And they go, you know, they kind of do that one. Right? Now, most of the time they don't. But I do have five different boys. Okay? So on any given day, one of them is going to go, Dad's getting ready to do a job. I don't want to do that. Okay? That's just how it is. But the truth is, I would rather take the kid who wants to, and then I want to treat them for working for me or working with me and pay them accordingly, but with something. So God wants to do the same for you. Ready? Number three. After we trust him, after we delight in him tomorrow morning when you get up, number three, you got to do this. Verse number five. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Hey, if we'll, these are the kind of the main four. Trust in him tomorrow. Delight in him tomorrow. Number three, ready? Commit to him tomorrow. Not just committing like, Lord, I love you. But commit means to follow through, to do it. Okay, you can't just wake up in the morning and say, wow, that's a good idea. I should do that. And then go not do it. All right? You didn't commit. You trusted him. You delighted in him. But you didn't, what? Commit to him. You didn't commit thy, it says there, commit thy way unto the Lord. That means start in the right direction and stay in the right direction. And you got to do that every day. That's a daily thing. That is not a, I can say, well, Brother Ali, I want to be like you someday. I want to be in the pew right there when I'm your age, and I want to be serving the Lord and have raised my children to serve him and do what's right. But the truth is, if I don't do that every day, then I won't be in church. I might not be in church a year from now. Okay? You say, well, Brother Young, you committed. You know, you promised that you were going to teach the school next year or whatever. Hey, if I start letting this stuff slip, the basic stuff, I mean, I don't care who you are in here. OK, Okay? I don't care if you're the pastor of the church, the assistant pastor of the church, the Sunday school teacher, the nursery worker. You start letting the simple things like trusting in the Lord, having a relationship with Him, and then just determining to do right for Him. You start letting that stuff slip, you're going to be gone. You're going to be somewhere else. And He's going to look at you as a child who's wandered away and say, I wish you would just come back to where you once were. And so that's what He says. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to what? Pass. All of this is leading towards that not fretting thing. Because by now, we started fretting in verse 1. But if you'll just get up in the morning, trust in the Lord, delight in Him, have a relationship, and commit to Him, you've pretty much solved most of the problem. You really have. We're a long ways from fretting anymore, aren't we? Okay? I'm a long ways, you know, if I'll do this with my, I can apply this to anybody. I could apply this to my wife. You know? I could be fretting about her a little bit. But if I'll trust her, delight in her, have a relationship with her, commit to her, then I think we're a long ways away from fretting anymore, aren't we? You know? And that works for every relationship you have to some extent. Because once you do that, you really, those are the three hard ones. The rest of them are getting a lot easier. Okay? Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, I said it gets easier, but this is kind of a two-way street. All right? Number 7, if we'll trust, delight, and commit, the fourth thing we get to do in the Lord is rest in Him. Rest in Him. That's a calmness that comes. If you'll trust Him, delight in Him, commit in Him, you get to be calm enough to go to sleep, all right? Not physically. I'm talking rest in your soul. You'll have peace. But then along with that peace, He does give an instruction, rest in the Lord. And then it says, this is the hard part for us at times. We kind of reset this whole cycle if we mess this one up, okay? It says, wait patiently for Him, all right? Now maybe this, you guys can help me, feedback again, all right? Does this get easier? You can nod your heads or shake your heads. Does this get easier the older you get, waiting for the Lord? Anybody tell me? Yes or no? This is your time to admit and be honest. Nobody's giving me any feedback here. Does it get easier? Brother Jack's like, not necessarily. All right? Because I feel like, you know what? One of the you know, burdens of a youth or whatever, and I'm in the middle of that, right? And so older folks, and I teach a lot of younger folks, and you know what I tell them? Be patient, you know, settle down, slow down, all right? And then what I don't realize is I'm doing the same thing in some area, all right? And my grandparents and my parents are saying, Roger, be patient, settle down, slow down. And I think, by the way, I think all of us do that, don't we? And some of it's personality. I know some personalities that are just always in a hurry, all right? I had a very wise professor, and he talked to my dad one time, and he said, you know, Roger's a great student. Roger's good at this, and Roger's good at this. And he said, there's just one thing. He's always ready to go to the next thing, all right? And it's not always a bad thing. I enjoy new things or doing what's next. You know, get this one done and go to the next one. But what he was saying was, sometimes he needs to go look at number four there. Rest a little bit, all right? Be patient, okay? And by the way, in the Christian life, if I want to be successful, I can do all the other things, and I will be better off. But it would help me if I would rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him. Look what it says, by the way. If I'll do that correctly, it stops me from going all the way back to the beginning again. Okay? If you read the verse, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So I started over here. I was worried about stuff around me, people around me, things around me, bad things happening. I said, wait a minute. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Okay? I'm going to have a delight in the Lord. I'm going to have a relationship. I'm going to commit to serving the Lord no matter what's going on around me. And if I'll do that, I can have peace serving Him. But if I'm not careful, right here is a dangerous spot. Because I've already done all the rest of it. And if I get impatient, I'm like, well, I just want to get this done. I go all the way back over to here again. I'm fretting about something again. So you know what I have to do? By the way, though, it is easier to get back where I was. Because I know how to do it now. Lord, I'm sorry. I trust in you. Please forgive me. I want to have a relationship. I'm going to do what's right. Now I have peace again. You see the cycle here? All right? And by the way, David did this. This is human nature. We all do this. We get to a point of peace with the Lord. We know what we're doing is right. We're serving Him. But we get impatient somehow. We don't quite have that wait patiently thing. And we reset it again. And then we trust in Him. And then we, you know, delight in Him. And then we commit to Him. And then we rest in Him. But if we can get through all of that, look what happens. Ready? Or actually, I would say to keep it from happening again. Look at verse 8. It says here, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So there's your cycle. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Commit. Rest. And number 5, David just found out that if he would, ready, cease. There are certain things he had to cease doing if he was going to maintain this in the Christian life. And the Bible says it's right there. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. I do think that he threw the word fret not again in there. And basically God's saying, okay, if you will just trust in me, if you'll just delight in me, if you'll commit in me, if you'll rest in me, and then when you get to here, just try to stay here, all right, as much as you can. And by the way, to stay here, it's okay to revisit trusting and delighting and committing and resting, trusting, delighting, committing, and resting. And you know what? Sometimes we give ourselves too many excuses. We could live a whole week in the Christian life that way. We could, theoretically. All right. Do we a lot? No. All right. Because most of the time something comes along and it gets us what? Upset? Angry? You say, well, I don't get angry too often. Well, do you ever get frustrated? All right. Let's use some other words here. And my wife doesn't get angry very much. That is true. All right. Does she get frustrated? Yes. All right. Does she get annoyed sometimes? Of course. She has 7 kids. And so you know what? That will reset this whole process. But you know what I find? If you're trying to do this process, if you're trying to live by those, God will honor that in your life. And you can be just as successful as David. I can be just as successful as a husband that I need to be. Let's not compare ourselves to David in that area, all right? If you study his life out. But what it is I can walk with the Lord and have a successful 5 steps in there, a successful Christian life, this week, tomorrow. If I'll just stop and say, Lord, I trust you to take care of today. Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. And by the way, we skip that sometimes, and we never make it to the third thing. We try to commit to the Lord's work, but we don't have a relationship with Him, so it throws it off. By the way, sometimes we just miss the resting part. We miss the waiting patiently part. You know, trust in Him. Have relationships with Him. Stay right with the Lord. Keep doing what's right. But then, you know what? At the end of the day, rest and get back up and do it again tomorrow. Rest, get back up, do it again tomorrow. Rest, get back up, do it again tomorrow. Hey, I'm talking to the choir in here. You all know that's how we're supposed to live our life. And even though you may not have put those words with it, you could have told me the same thing as I reminded you and myself of this morning. But the truth is, we need the reminder, all right? Because so many times we get over here to this part and we get worried about something, or we doubt something, or we get frustrated, and it just resets us back here. But some people live over here or over here. They live in the fretting zone, and it just seems they never make it past that. And then they go 20 or 30 years down their life, and they're sitting in the pew, and they think, why am I not as successful as this person? Or why am I not as close to God as my dad or mom or whatever? Hey, we can be that close to the Lord. We can. We can serve the Lord as a great bus captain or Sunday school teacher or church member if we will just follow the simple steps in God's Word. Psalms 37, go home and read it. Go home and mark it down. Write it down, whatever you need to do there. And I hope that's a blessing to you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the Sunday school hour. We're out a little bit early. Lord, we do pray for our pastor as he's away. And Lord, I don't know what even called him away this week. But Lord, I am sure that he's in your will doing what's right. And I pray that you'd give him health that he needs today. I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, help us this week to trust in you when we need to trust in you, which is always. Lord, to delight in you daily. Constantly, Lord, not just once a day, but as much as we possibly can to rely and talk to you and have a fellowship with you. Lord, help us to commit our ways to you whenever we do something this week, whatever you see us doing, whether it be work, whether it be travel, play, whatever it is that we're doing, that it would be pleasing to you. And then, Lord, because of that, I pray for rest for your people. Lord, rest from evil, rest from worry. And Lord, when we do have a problem, if we'll just quickly cast it on you, that's trusting you, and we can reset this without heading into that fretting or anger zone that, as a Christian, kind of resets the clock for us. Help us to stay right with you this week. In Jesus' name, amen.